And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Sports Grid Radio Network and YouTube and Facebook Live, and of course 1090 AM. We're everywhere. We're all over the place here now. Yeah, for sure. Hey, we're here in the world headquarters, as you can see, right next to the sand. Very busy fishermen's and Point Loma sport fishing landings there in Point Loma. Captain Dave Ibrahim from the Tomahawk is here. You can see the Tomahawk in the background of the YouTube and Facebook Live shot right now. Getting ready to go get some fuel, right?
That's it.
Fuel dock's a little busy over there right now.
A little busy. We might end up doing it here in a little bit. But, yeah, another trip tonight, charter.
Yeah.
6 p.m. departure, day and a half.
It's a charter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And, boy, we are giving away such a great prize.
Man, you're not kidding. An opportunity just to get to go fishing on one of the most beautiful boats in the fleet with Captain Dave here. A day and a half trip on board the Tomahawk is going to one lucky caller or texter at the end of today's show. An amazing opportunity for somebody. And, boy, if you want to get through, it's been a great show so far. So much killer information with Dave, as always, when we get lucky enough to have him on here. But if you want to give us a call on the phones, then we want to hear from you. 213-432-1090 is how you reach us on the phones. Or keep those texts rolling through. Only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. Can't stress it enough to make sure you include name and a phone number when you send that text message.
And where you are, too.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, man, hopefully you're the big winner at the end of the show. The way we do the prize is we're going to select one potential winner from all of the phone calls that make it on the show today. We're going to select one potential texters from every text message to get read on the air today. Then we're going to flip a prize coin to the end of the show, and Dave's going to make the call whether that goes to the caller or a texter side based on that coin flip.
Yep, for sure. Let's jump back on the phones. They are packed. They want to talk to you, Dave.
Baja Ben from Chula Vista is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Ben.
Morning, guys. How you doing? Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, I kind of had a question if you were still doing the light thing at night for the bluefin, if you found that that was still working, if you guys were still, you know, bringing the cords out and stuff on that, you know, kind of one of the first trips, I think, you know, I was with you, and if that was still, like, proven to work when you're lighting it up like that at night, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no, we are, absolutely. I've even added a couple more lights, so, yeah, we're
lit up. That makes a difference, having the boat lit up like that?
I know I've heard a few different theories. I feel like it does.
It attracts things. Huh?
I like to think. I know when we first started doing the nighttime thing, like, we were putting the underwater squid light in the water, and it was like, eh, you know, it seemed to be a little bit, but, no, I think it does help.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel good about it. It's the confidence thing. You're confident about every stop, and you know, maybe drop that jig a few more times and feeling confident on that. So I think it does, absolutely.
How has, if any, and maybe it hasn't because it's not like, you know, you've never caught fish in the dark before, but over these last 5 or 6 years that we've relied on so much nighttime fishing, how have boats changed, yourself or other guys from the fleet, just in dealing with, you know, catching what sometimes is a high percentage of your fish at dark? Like, do you change the way that you light the boat up, or has it always been, you know, the not broke, don't fix it rule, or how have things changed in any way?
You know, it's what we have going. I mean, I've added a few more powerful lights, and it could be, could help. I know when we first started, we had the Husky lights zip tied to all the back rail, and I feel like these higher lumen lights, it helped.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's
some of those lights are bright.
Some of them are. And there's some boats out in the fleet that are just like, wow, you know, lit up.
It's miles away.
That's it. You know, but these Durabright lights, they're kicking out. It's like, yeah, they're costly. I'm working towards those.
Yeah.
But,
are you seeing squid when you're putting them out? Because you're almost like a light boat.
You ain't lying. Yeah. Offshore, not so much.
No.
I mean, randomly, you might get a flyer swimming through the lights. If it's offshore,
sure.
If it's this bank, you know, where there's bottom stuff, we'll definitely see a couple squid every now and again.
Yeah.
Swimming through it, but it helps. It helps. Cool. Helps with tangles, helps with gaffing, and I feel like it attracts. Kind of got the trifecta going there on why we use them.
Yeah. So one of the things at night is white or yellow spectra. Can you see red or green spectra at night?
No, the green is one of the tougher ones.
The tougher ones,
and
yeah.
The unfortunate part is that it's, you know, of course, best bargain. Like, we all have that in our mind. But the green, of course, is cheaper, and it's for the reason. It's on the shelf. It's cheaper, and we try to steer away from that. Like, there was even a couple boat setups that had it, and it was like, yeah, we got to strip this stuff off.
But the metered line's fine.
The metered line's fine.
Yeah.
They chose some good colors, and I think overall that meter line is good.
I mean, can see it at night.
We still have anglers that come out with, you know, full white spools of spectra, but just marked with the Sharpie.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, whether they're doing it behind the boat and 5 foot arm lengths, or going to a big field and stretching it out and marking it. But that color stuff matters. White is by far the best.
The best.
But the best for seeing, but that color stuff is right there next to it. I mean, it's marked, ready.
There you go.
Plug and play. Cool.
All right. Hey, we had a great text come through. It's from Tony in Fontana. It says, good morning, Pete, Rick, and Captain Dave. It seems like the yellowfin tuna are finally starting to roll in. What do I need to do different with my approach to set up to land a yellowfin tuna as opposed to the bluefin? I've also got a day-and-a-half trip scheduled for Thanksgiving Day weekend. Do you think that the bluefin will still be around by the end of November? That's all from Tony in the Nina in Fontana.
It's great a fish. I mean, it's the same approach, fly line, you know, fluorocarbon, 3-4 foot leader of fluorocarbon, and tuna. Tuna's always the circle hook. It's like what's imprinted in you on working long range stuff. It's J hooks yellowtail, circle hooks tuna, and, you know, 30 pound yellowfin to 30 pound bluefin. It's the same fly line approach. I mean, that having a good lively bait, that's the big thing. It's preference. I see guys do plenty well with single speed reels fishing 30 pound fish, and guys that have the more compact with 2 speed reels. But it's a lot of the same approach. I mean, there's plunker style stuff for both species. Very, very, very rarely do we do nighttime stuff yellowfin, but there has been some evening plunkers that led into dark for fishing that yellowfin stuff. But overall, I think the greater yellowfin we see, it's pretty cookie cutter stuff. I mean,
now when you were on the American Angler, you fished nighttime yellowfin down
below,
right?
There was some stuff, yeah. Definitely, and of course, it always bite at some odd one, two in the morning.
What?
Oh yeah. Everyone get up.
Yeah.
Hurricane Bank can never just bite regular in the daytime.
No,
it can't. Oh yeah, 100 degrees at night.
Yeah,
be sweating.
Well, speaking of long range trips, the Royal Star, hard to believe that they actually have some openings. They have a 3 openings on a 7-day October 5th through the 12th.
Oh, man.
That's pretty awesome.
That's perfect, huh?
They have 2 openings on October 22nd through 26th. That would be, what would that be? A 4-day.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And then November 6th through November 16th, 10-day, 2 openings on that. So if you want more information or if you want to book any of those trips, check RoyalStarSportFishing.com or just give Tracy a call in the office at Royal Star. But that's a very rare opportunity to get aboard one of the top boats in the fleet to get out there and go fishing in the primest of prime time, right? Is the fall like the primest of prime time, or what? Are we exaggerating
fishing,
or what?
You get the mixed bag, that's for sure.
I mean, that's
highly suggested if you haven't did it before. It's another world down there, and getting that experience by far.
Especially this year with that crazy yellowfin tuna that those guys have had on the ridge. I mean, it has been so consistent and so good. What an opportunity to slide down and get in on that. You know, pick the way you want to catch them.
Yeah, and we talked about yesterday that our Let's Talk Hookup 6-day trip on the Shogun at the end of November, November 21st, is now a 7-day instead of a 6-day.
That was a really cool move.
And there's a couple spots left on that.
They had a day of lay-in that was going to work out, and timing just was so much better to take advantage of that ridge fishing. So extended the trip by a day, but did not add a day's worth of price to the trip. You know,
kept it very reasonable.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, really cool opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, phones are packing up. First time it's been available, 213-432-1090. Open right now. Let's jump into the phones.
Rich from Bradley's up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning. What a bunch of great stuff this morning. I want to take advantage of Captain Dave's advice about using a 50-foot top shot of mono, and I'm wondering how many different sizes of combinations of line, and what combinations of line I should have ready when I get on the boat, and how does he like to hook his mono up to his braid?
So for What type of chip do you have coming up?
Probably day and a half.
Because
I'm going to win.
Okay, just one. Okay. That's it. Aim high. That's it. For the 50-foot top shot of mono, I mean, I like to apply that for even my live bait stuff, like just the whole stretch aspect. But, I mean, for this, just to start knife jigging, it's an 80 or 100-pound mono size with, you know, being the 50 foot for the knife jig and stuff. At least that's what I prefer, and I do the 50 for my 30 pound setup. 40, I feel like a 30, a 50, and then your heavy knife jig setup, you have, you know, those three setups. If you like doing the casting thing, I mean, it's hard to say what we're come across, whether, you know, seeing spots of breaking fish, but, you know, fourth pull being something cast, you know, that and or a Colt sniper or something like that. But if I had to choose some setups, it would be the 30, 50, and an 80 or 100 knife jig. And then you're covered. I mean, 50-foot top shot on each, matching the hatch, so 30 floral, 30 mono, and then just the 80 or 100, just preference. And of
so
course,
you're attaching the, it to the
spectra,
floral?
To the spectra,
okay.
For the 50-foot. And if it's a floral that's needed, then I just do the 3-4 foot thing, and that's for the fly line.
Okay.
Sinker rig, I feel like you'd be using the same setup that you use for knife jigging for your sinker rig. And it's if you have a spool, a 60-pound mono, I feel like 50, 60-pound mono for the sinker rig. With a good piece of fluorocarbon on that. For the connection knot, lately I've been doing this Tony Pena. Like it's, okay. It was back and forth between the RP and the Tony Pena. And I always say it, we tested both. We had the RP on one side, Tony Pena on the other. And we used two deck brush handles. First time the RP one. The next two times Tony Pena one. So I've been tying that one since.
Either one.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah. It just stuck. Goes out of the guy's good. But cinching it down tight before you cut the mono tag end, that helps.
That's key.
Make sure everything's locked in.
On the Tony Pena.
Yeah. Snip it snug, and have you know plenty of success with it. So
okay.
Kinda, yeah.
Cool.
Broke down feet. Yeah.
So are you attaching then? When you're saying a 50-foot top shot of mono,
that's
you're attaching
Pena.
Going right to the spectra.
To the spectra. And then for the if I am doing a fly line, you know, leader on top of that 50-foot of mono, I do the Seaguar knot.
Okay.
User
Seaguar knot with the floor.
With the floor,
how long of a fluorocarbon?
I do like a 3-4 foot.
Okay,
yeah,
just out of the guys.
Just out of the guys, yeah. Exactly.
All
just
right.
So it doesn't get snagged in the guys when I go to cast.
Yeah, Rick, you have a great text.
Yeah, it says, good morning, guys. Captain Dave, great show. Love all this knowledge. I'm wanting to plan a trip soon. My question is, what is the difference between an overnight and a day and a half? How much more fishing time do we actually get? My other question is, I've gotten really into filming with a drone. Is it okay to use a drone to film the boat during our trip? That's from Jay and OB.
Gotcha. So, yeah, the difference, I mean, so a day and a half overnight, they both leave at the same time in the evening. You travel all night to the grounds, depending where it is. Of course, it's, you know, depends where the fish are. But the difference is, overnight, you'll fish till noon, say, just example, roughly. Sometimes it could be longer, just depending on how far you are from home, but you know, you get out there, you fish, start fishing in the morning, and sometimes noon, lunchtime, call it, you have to start motoring home because you have to be in that night. Versus the day and a half, same departure time, travel during the night, fish in the morning, but you get from sun up to sundown. And sometimes leading into the night, if your distance from home is you know, plenty reachable if on a later hour departure, at least from the fishing grounds to home. So you get the whole full day with the day and a half, and sometimes it's needed. You know, it's like if there's no morning bite for an overnight, which sometimes that is, sometimes it's morning, but you get the whole day with the day and a half, so that's the end goal, at least.
And with the way the fish are right now, that's almost necessary.
You like to have it.
Yeah.
I mean, and even if it's a morning bite and an evening bite, you
right.
get the best of both worlds. So
yeah.
You got to capitalize.
A lot going on there. Hey, I have another great text, and of course, you can text us, of course, only on the Let's Talk Hookup app, or you can call us. JP standing by 213-432-1090 in an open line there. Bill in Mission Viejo has a nice thoughts here. and he says, I was able to go out on a day and a half trip with my son and got some good quality fishing time with him. Also, was lucky enough to meet Captain Dave's father. He's a great man and is a true reflection of why Dave is a great captain.
That's awesome.
Thank you for what you do.
Awesome. Thank
nice
you very much for that.
Yeah. So your dad goes fishing with you,
he
huh?
He does. He does.
Yeah?
Pops, yeah.
He likes going fishing.
He does.
That's
he does.
Cool. How often
yeah.
does he get out with you?
He tries. He
yeah.
tries. Oh, yeah. He has his routine.
That's cool.
He has his routine.
Yeah. Well, let's jump back on the phones, right?
How about we talk to Ryan? He's calling us from Irvine this morning. Hey, Ryan, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, gentlemen. Fabulous show today. One thing about the Tomahawk I want to note is that that boat was the first boat I ever caught my first triple digit and cow. Back wow. 2 years ago.
Rad.
It was
awesome.
You know, I made a lot of great memories with that. With that being said, Captain Brahim, when you're going out and you're flying the kite for the passenger group, what can an angler do to capitalize on his fishing? What type of gear can he do while the kite's being flown?
You know, a lot of times, of course, when we're doing the kite thing, we're drifting. I feel like I see the most bites, you know, sea bites on fly line, sea bites on sinker rig, but I see the most bites on sinker rig. And you know, on the note that if we're fishing the kite, there's bigger ones. So bigger ones like to hang out a little deeper. So that whole sinker rig aspect, you know, whether it's the brawler rig or the, you know, inline torpedo rubber band to your line. So if I was waiting for the kite, I'd probably be doing a sinker rig because that means bigger fish. Bigger fish are going to be down a little deeper. You know, 60-pound rig. I feel like that's the go-to for fishing these little bigger models. Maybe even 80. It just depends. And how we do the kite, it's, you know, working the long range, how we would do it, it's you're up on the kite until you catch a fish. Like, it was just how it went. Obviously, we don't have the 7-8 days of fishing. So how we do it, we just put everyone's name in a bag. Everyone's tag number. I'm sorry. Everyone's tag number in a bag. So when we hook that fish, I shake the bag up. I walk on the back upper deck. I shake the bag up, and then I pull the number out. Kind of the whole raffle. So it's the, you know, if we
it's
only
a random draw. It's not by 1 through 20 or whatever.
It's just the time.
No,
if you signed in as number, you know, 17.
Yeah.
You just don't have nearly as good a shot of getting opportunities number 2 does.
Giving everyone the even chance. It's. I feel like it's you know, user friendly. Yeah, it has to be.
Yep.
Has to be.
No doubt about it. Good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, I had a fun text, and I'm very curious on Dave's answer to this, only because I know that you've spent a lot of time catching tuna both on the private small boat and then obviously a ton of time on sport boats. And it was from Gil in Menifee. It says, good morning, gentlemen. I've got a question. I'm going on a couple of long-range trips this fall, and I've been hearing about all this great big yellowfin tuna fishing that they're going that they're happening on the ridge. My goal is to catch a yellowfin tuna of 70 pounds or larger on a popper. My question is for Captain Dave. What is the premium proper popper outfit to be used for catching this great a fish?
Ooh,
yeah.
I know the ones I've caught them on and how I felt after, you know.
Yeah.
Body
yeah. We talked a lot about that yesterday. Like, man, what are you asking? Are you asking for the right outfit to cast the lure or the right outfit to catch the fish on the lure?
Oh,
sometimes
man.
Those are two different things.
And it's even, you know, the anglers that come out and catch one on or hook one on it, and it's like, you know, it's a pretty gnarly battle.
No doubt.
And it's, you know, we end up finishing it for them. But the setup I have a 90J mag with a 30 Trinidad, and it might not be the adequate size. Of course, I'd rather have 2-speed, but for casting
yeah,
the lure,
totally. That's the thing.
And to have that backbone, that at least that's the setup I've been using or have used. But, you know, you see these 60, 80-pound fish, and it's like, okay, I mean, cast something like that if they're getting, you know, whatever, it's a foam or a spotter-breaking fish. And how it always goes, you're going to hook the 100-something-pound,
yeah,
140,
yeah.
150-pounder in the mix and be just, you know, buckled over. But that's, you know, in the end, it's a story to tell. It's an adventure all the way. So
that's a good call,
that's
though.
That's it, yeah.
And that 90 mag is a great rod, too.
90 mag is the CalStar.
It's a CalStar.
It's AJ.
So it's
like that one same you were talking about yesterday?
Similar. So it's bred from that. You know, the boys yesterday were talking about an old-school fiberglass 90J.
Right.
You know, for their favorite rod for catching a yellowtail. A 90 mag is a... is built on the same mandrel that a 90J always was, but instead of being instead of being all fiberglass, it's a composite rod. It's got graphite in it, but the graphite is rolled in different than like a graphiter, where graphiter blends to be mostly glass at the tip, or mostly glass, graphite in the bud and mostly glass in the tip. The GG series have a lot. They have a higher percentage of fiberglass than they do graphite. And then the mag is like a beefier version at the front end of the rod. It's got better lift. So when you do hook a big fish, you can still put that thing on the rail, and there's really good lifting power out of what's something that's not very common, you know, on a jig rod. So it's a really nice rod to potentially kill a big fish, especially something that's in, you know, approaching triple digits.
Exactly. And I say the 90, because obviously there's the 100 mag, which is a little more length, but probably just is suffice too. But the 90 mag, it's a little shorter and can still get it done. So you have that backbone.
And you can still put it on the rail.
Can put it on the rail.
Yeah, exactly. I like that.
So because
versus if you throw a spinning reel, which is a great rod for a popper, you can't put that thing on the rail.
Put it on the rail. It hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Yeah, for sure.
Hang on to that thing.
Well, let's find out what's biting out there. The FishDope.com reporter is standing by.
Yeah, we got Yusuf standing by. Going to be a great report today. Sponsored by Terrafin. Sea surface temperature charts. Focus your offshore charts in the most productive areas by using Terrafin. Sea surface temperature, chlorophyll, currents, and more. With Terrafin Mobile, you can access your charts on the water or your mobile device. Check Terrafin.com for more information. We got the man, Yusuf, standing by. Good morning, Yusuf.
I'm here. How's it going, guys?
Great, buddy. Good morning.
Great. What's going on out there?
Good morning. Good morning. Well, we're getting into this fall fishing here, and things are changing. Up north, just outside of Malibu, Paradise Cove area, there was a good little sea bass bite this last week. It is now gone, sadly. But from what we're hearing, it was people were scoring pretty well. Catalina, same kind of deal. We're getting into this fall fishing. The yellowtail bite is slowing down. There is still tons of barracuda and bonita around, along with some really good bass fishing. Clemente, same deal. You still have a shot of sea bass at the dunes on the squid. It is a, like, first light bite, so from 3 a.m. to daylight is the only time they're biting right now, and you have to be right on top of that squid bed. Yesterday, offshore, the tuna fishing was a little bit slow. They were having a little bit of a tough time finding the fish, and then in the evening yesterday, they found fish around the 7-Eleven. All 50 to 150-pound fish, pound yellowtail, that's still going pretty well. Catalina, the marlin fishing continues. This is it's been a great marlin bite. But epic, epic marlin fishing right now. Yesterday, the Peskies tournament was going on. A lot of guys out there looking for fish, and I guess a lot were spotted besides the what the pesky guys were doing.
The false tailors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Yusuf, wow. There's fish to be caught. I mean, it's kind of not a normal September, but, you know, I know Danny and the boys over at Fish Dope have been on it. $30 off a new membership to FishDope.com using the code HOOKUP NOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUP NOW is your $30 code. And Yusuf, for the best, how's the real estate game? Are you cranking it?
Still killing it, man. I closed one right after my surgery, actually, and closed two more this last week, and it's just going to get better as we get into these lower rates and people continuing to buy. So give me a shout. Anybody who wants to get rid of a home or looking for a home, I can be reached at 619-277-2169. Cal Realty on Instagram and Facebook. Or you can find me on my website at sportsmansrealty.com.
All right. Thanks, Yusuf. Appreciate that. Keep up the great work. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
Take care, guys. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
Thanks, brother.
All right.
Thanks. All right. Hey, I want to remind you that report's sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the new, easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity, the finest customer service. Stop by their location on Old Town on Taylor Street or check Fisherman's Processing.com. tunafishing.com. Be sure to make that reservation today.
Yeah, no kidding. I have a great text here from Joshua. It's a very simple text, I might add. And it is, and he's in Lomita. It says, tomahawk is the best. Let's go fishing. It's pretty much says it, right?
It's
a big fan. Yeah, it's a big fan. You have a good one, too.
Sometimes when we have these heat waves and the fleet is on the fish, the bait can get to being looking a little beat up when it doesn't have a ton of time in the box. When given the choice, which is better, a hot swimming bait that might be missing some scales and a little red, or a perfect-looking bait that's blonde and doesn't have any scales missing, but it sure seems to be lazy in the hand well.
Ooh, that's there's been times I'll grab a bait just because of what it is, and next thing you know, it ends up being a good swimmer, but it takes rotating through them baits, so it's... That's a toughie.
That
I get it.
Toughie.
Yeah. That's, you know, whether they're quick reaction bites or a long soak, I guess I would kind of consider that. If it's a reaction bite, like we're butt hooking, you're hearing the guy on the tank scream boils or me scream boils up from the upper deck or, you know, down on deck, I'd probably belly hook one of those not so pretty baits because, you know, they're going to dart off fast.
Right.
Get that reaction bite.
And on that bait, you're looking for a bite in the first 30 seconds.
I'm pretty quick on the cast now. If a bait doesn't swim, wind and reset. But the longer soak, I feel like you'd want the bait that'll last a little longer because sometimes that is the case. You got to nose hook a bait or shoulder hook a bait. And those are the, two, how to hook a sardine, nose hook or shoulder for a little longer soak. And it's almost been that lately, too. Ooh. Like, fish haven't been boiling in the corner. Like, the guy that's been soaking for 3-4 minutes gets the bite, and it's the guy in the corner changing his bait, butt hook reaction, doesn't get as many bites. So I guess that's the two angles, whether it's a reaction bite or a long soak would decipher that. But nonetheless, you always want the best looking bait, liveliest bait, but with something like that, definitely pay attention to the signs.
That's it. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great info just like that. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Sports Grid Radio Network.
The fish are biting and it's time to go. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay, or maybe in front of the shop on my kayak. It doesn't matter if you are out there on a kayak with me, on your boat, headed out on a sport boat. Dana Landing has everything you need. We call it the one-stop shop for a great day on the water, as it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by John, is certainly one of the best. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. These guys have the best rods and reels and the hottest lures and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, with a great stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. Check out danalanding.com for more details.
Rock Todd Rick here to tell you about Parker Boats and the guys at West Coast Marine. By now, you all know my boat partner and I bought a new 25 Parker Center console from Truett West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. We've known for a long time that a Parker was the boat for us. It's a stout workhorse of a boat built to last and get you home when the seas get rough. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore tuna grounds. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip and there they are. Parker Boats of all sizes, fishing in the same areas as the sporties. There's a good reason for it: fishability and seaworthiness. West Coast Marine has several new Parkers in stock and ready for delivery, and they have more on the way. Don't get caught without a reliable boat when fishing is this good. Take it from me, if you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine. Check out the inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslanderSportFishing.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know: Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Talking, fishing on board the Tomahawk. What a great show this is.
Yeah, been. Fun. Yeah. And thanks to Dave for literally stepping off the boat this morning after it was a two-day trip.
Two-day, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You getting to get some rest here before you go back out?
Well, I'd like to hope so. That's it.
He's eyeballing the boys scrubbing the boat down like that.
Do you get home to visit the family at all?
I get to hang out with little man for a little bit.
Oh, take that's
a shower.
Cool.
If he gets out of school here in a little bit, so get to hang out with him. Hopefully, come to the bait barge with me. That's kind of
that'd be cool.
It doesn't always set up that way, but that's kind of a little quick treat.
How old's your boy?
Six.
That's cool.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So some bait barge fishing then.
Oh, bouncing off the walls.
I can imagine. That is very cool. So
phones have literally been packed since we started the show this morning. I mean, before we took our first phone call, we were full. And I would say this is the first time since the beginning of the show that we've had an open shot. So if you want to get through, first opportunity the entire morning, 213-432-1090. There's an open phone line right now.
Right now. Let's go ahead and jump into it.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Lorenzo? He's calling us from Huntington Beach this morning. What's up, Lorenzo? Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Congratulations on your 30 years, and pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Captain Dave. We're coming in a new season. It seemed like we had a kind of a strange short summer season, but the fishing was outrageous. I'm a new angler from the shore. If I were to win this trip, it would be, wow, what a way to start learning how to fish from a boat. But I'm going to ask you about Nino and La Nina. What are you hearing about for this coming season's coming up? Anything? You getting any kind of line on that?
Now that I think about it, I haven't heard or caught wind of theories on that. You got me curious on it too, because of course it's thinking of what the future holds. It's like doing the present, but also curious on what the future brings. But this year has been a little different. We like to think this yellowfin's going to shift up, and that's some of the fun stuff. I mean, user friendly. We troll around, see them on kelps, get jig strikes. Bluefin's obviously has been our main priority, at least conquering those things and catch them in as we can while they're willing to bite. That's a toughie for me. I haven't heard any theories on that, but I mean, all in all, I mean, we all know to get some of these trips, it's getting out on the water. I mean, we all would like to go on the note that, hey, they're biting, but sometimes a good note it's to go when there's potential because it's soon to bite. But that's a tough one.
Just get on the water, right?
You just got to get on the water.
That's the key.
That's it.
Yeah, they predicted a La Nina for this year, but I think they're very confused because the water's pretty warm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Keeping tabs on it every day. It's like, it's pretty warm.
Yeah, and everybody's kind of confused, like, where's the yellowfin? Where's the Dorado? I mean, there's a few here and there, it's like they're down below. They obviously have enough of what they need down there that they don't need to go anywhere else.
We know we need a storm to push that stuff up in the sense.
And there hasn't been, there was that small tropical disturbance. I guess it wasn't that small for the guys we heard from yesterday from Chris about that. It was a pretty good rain event, but not a lot of wind, but really not a lot other than that as far as tropical storms or hurricanes down there.
I want that fish here so bad.
Yeah,
we hear about it every day from the long range.
Could happen.
It absolutely could.
Yeah.
I mean, just exactly.
Dave would like that.
Oh, I like it. Best of both worlds. 40, you got the bluefin option, then you got the yellowfin option.
It's 40 to 70 pounders eating everything that you could throw at them.
Yeah, we'd like that.
Take that just fine.
Man, that'd be it.
So I think the key is book a trip. Just get out on the water.
Oh, man.
That's the way to go. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. 213-432-1090. Open right now. You have a great text.
I thought so. Says, good morning, guys. Congratulations, Dave, on building such a solid operation so quickly. I still remember that fun radio show with Frank and Carl introducing you as the new owner and captain of the somewhat struggling Tomahawk. What an amazing turnaround and a fantastic job you've done. Keep up the great work. My question has to do with preparation. I'm coming on an upcoming two-day trip a week from today. Was wondering if you could what you would recommend in terms of rod and reels I should have at the ready. That's from Corey in Escondido.
I got you. So 30 pounds of fly line set up, you know, adequate reel, adequate rod, just preference. 30 pound, let's see, call it 50 pound. I guess you could play that same setup, your knife jig setup with that. But a 30, a 50.
And 50 for maybe sinker rig or
yeah,
that kind of thing?
Exactly, yeah, that's exactly. 30, 50, and then a heavier, you know, rail rod, two-speed reel, back to a Spectra, color or just white marked Spectra for your knife jig setup. So those three setups, I mean, you'd be covered if you have a couple lighter fly line setups, you know, that's one end of it, or if you have a couple knife jig heavier setups, because backup setups are always huge.
Yeah.
I mean, you get on a hot bite, you know, 5, 10, 15 fish going, and by accident your jig gets caught in a fish and somehow it gets cut or sawed off. Having a spare setup is, you know, huge on both sides, lighter or heavier fishing. So. Yeah.
Seems like at the beginning of this round of fishing, when it got onto the banks real good, there was some really good yellowtail fishing that came with it. Is that still around at all? Is that kind of filtered away? Not so much?
Like, yeah, guys that go looking south, it's they're looking, they're putting in the work, burning the fuel, trying to find something to at least help the fleet out, but not much success. And I mean, if anything caught, it's minimal. So a lot of guys are still focusing on the bluefin thing, but I think near future guys are going to start venturing south and potentially find some of that stuff. But yeah, this kelp and yellowtail thing, it was definitely short-lived. So
yeah.
It's tough. I wish I had the magic crystal ball in front of me.
And when you guys were fishing Cortez, there was some yellow there.
There was some yellow.
But not really
any. That's what I was referring to. I just made sure if any of that was still on the bank.
Not so much. I feel like guys are getting little flickers of it, but to target it, I probably wouldn't be the best. Yeah. Yeah.
What's the difference between fishing Cortez and Tanner? Is there much difference there?
Both very, very, very similar. Anchor-style stuff, so current, I can't ever stress that enough, and tide. It's like being...
They look similar, or is
it... The Cortez is it's definitely a little more nautical on bottom structure, hard bottoms.
There's actually a rock that sticks up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's pretty feisty. So yeah, making sure you have the chart plotter tuned up correct.
You want to make sure you don't get on that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because low tide, it's definitely
you can see
pretty much seeable almost. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, similar. Both anchor stuff, similar depths. You know, 100. I mean, we find ourselves fishing 90 feet sometimes. If we're trying to focus more on yellowtail, at least that's the thinking. A little shallower for some yellowtail, but and again, guy anchors up deeper and has a good yellowtail hit. So it
could happen.
These fish move; they got tails. I always say it. So it's getting out there, getting the lay of the land, and putting two and two.
That's cool.
Eric and OB writes, I love fishing the Tomahawk. What's your suggestion for time of the year to book to catch a big bluefin?
Ooh. I'd like to say fall, but I mean, we had our flicker of big ones beginning of the season too, and it's always a toughie.
You guys have been kicking ass.
Yeah, come on, you're being humble.
I got to watch every morning when these things unload. Like, it looked like long range trips, trip after trip after trip. You guys kicked the daylights out of them.
I mean, there's
what you do.
Yeah, it's. Of course, I'm just trying to think. I mean, I feel like fall we get a good amount of big ones.
And it can just be so nice.
Yeah, good weather.
I think that's almost for me what sticks out more is, like you say, that there's definitely... I feel like it's the fall, too.
I feel like fall.
But, like, I don't know if that's just because the weather's usually so enjoyable to catch big ones.
That we go check that out.
I don't know what it is, but, man, I like fishing in the fall.
Fall is just all angles. User-friendly, for sure. That's probably what I would probably try to book a trip and would be there full-time for a bigger one.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump back in the phones, Rick.
How about we talk to Daniel? He's calling us from Rancho Cucamonga this morning. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the show.
Good morning, guy. Good morning, Dave. I just want to talk about something we don't talk a lot about. When these trips, what would be a good tip for wise money for the deckhands. When you tip the deckhands at the end of the trip, what would be a good tip amount? Because these guys work very hard, and they try to help as much as they can.
That's the biggest thing, is it's, you know, keeping a good crew is... It's always tough, you know, because guys are aspiring to do different things, and maybe the sport boats are stepping stone or whatever it may be. But I feel like what we tend to see is it's of ticket price, you know, customer service. And I feel like we commonly see the 20% of whatever ticket price is for the boys. And it's, you know, even if it's a new guy, you know, versus a guy that's been doing it, the veteran, every gratuity, every tip is split evenly amongst us all. So that's why having the canvas of teamwork and there's no I in team and preaching these things and making sure everyone knows what they need to do, I feel like people are more likely to do that 20%. So that's what I'm preaching and trying to build here and making sure these guys earn that, because it's, you know, it's a good amount of money. People work hard for their money. So I stress to the crew on being frugal with helping and customer service rigging up. But I feel like 20% is the standard that we see a lot of, and you know, more so people are pleased. You know, it's and the other angle too, it's we can't control if the fish bite in the way. Those are the two things we can't control. But I always say, because, you know, I'm the one down there collecting. I make sure I put a face to everyone, shake everyone's hand, thank them for coming out fishing with us. But at least consider that. The tough thing is, if these fish don't want to bite, you know, still like to see the boys make money, because that's their main income. It's a minimum wage thing for their wage. And
they're working and those they, out, man. A lot.
And living in this San Diego city, it's like, it's tough. So, yeah. And of course, it's the best you can do to take care of them, show your appreciation. It goes a long way. Keeping well good said, crew. There's steps well to keeping a good crew and making sure the boys can make enough money to live.
Right,
it's
sure.
Huge. It's huge. Yeah, sorry for stretching.
Sure. No, that's the truth. But, right?
Like, there
no,
it is.
It is.
That was
people need to understand it's an important part of their, or it's the biggest part of their
income. Keep a good crew, solid crew, experienced crew, and guys that want to be a part of the boat, whether it's, you know, not just me, but having that good canvas from passengers and building right. Something correct.
And too many people are afraid of answering that question. And like,
it's a touchy one.
Daniel asked it for a reason. There's a lot of people that want to know that they're taking care of the boys appropriately. And, you know, they might think that X amount is right, and maybe it's a little shy, or maybe it's on the other side of things, or whatever. So I just thought that was very well said.
Yeah.
Too many people dance around, and it's a very important part of it, both for us as passengers to want to make sure we're taking care of the boys, and both for the boys to, like you say,
That's how we build something. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, you go to a restaurant, now it seems like 20% is a standard tip that they almost get to the point where whether they deserve it or not deserve it is the big question. But think about the crew member and the captain are working 7/24 with you. They're not just there like coming in and out and stuff. They're there on you all the time, and it seems like they're worth a similar, at least that tip.
Yeah. I mean, talk about your, you know, you hook your big fish. Like, there's a guy, at least on the tomahawk, because I know, because I've seen it, like, you hook your big one, there's a guy standing at your shoulder from start
right.
to finish. Like, you know, unless we're so fortunate that everybody's got one, but, I mean, there's a guy, you know, put your hand here, try doing this way, lean this way. I mean, there's a guy coaching you through the entire process.
Right.
It's not just pouring you a cup of coffee and expecting you to hand him an extra $4.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let's jump back on the phone, Rick.
Got it. And let's talk to Doug calling us from Montebello this morning. Good morning, Doug. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. Looks like we might have lost out there.
I have a great text standing by.
It says, my question is for Dave. Dave, I call me old school, but I'm just not a rail rodder. I really prefer to stand up and fish with my APCO belt and harness setup. I'm 6'5", so my height makes the rail a little difficult for me. Can you recommend a rod length that would work well from the tomahawk, and also give us your thoughts on a proper belt and harness setup versus the rail? That's from Jeff and Torrance.
Ooh, so what, you know, doing the long range stuff and being a part of a piece of when we would do the harness, to where now the long range guys just use the auto fish the kite when we're fishing down south. But taking some of that to our side, it's when we have X amount of anglers on the rail, and and being clipped into something and or harness, maneuvering up and down the side of the boat, it's tough. Yeah. The whole maneuvering aspect, not just the battling of the fish, but maneuvering, because fishing nighttime, these fish are moving fast, running up towards the bow. You're going over, under. That's when we stress the whole rod under your arm. Now, if you're solo in the bow and or solo in the stern and you want to put it in the fighting belt and pull it kind of the old school conventional way, that's, you know, that's one thing. But when it's hot and heavy, being locked into something, whether it's just the rod belt and or straps, it becomes pretty intense on making sure we're the best setup to land that fish. Just maneuverability. That's a big one. And for the battle of it, it's what I always stress is using the rail, because that saves your energy. It's you want the energy to turn the handle, because when you're fishing a big fish, if you go slack, that fish does a head shake. It's going to potentially throw whatever you have hooked in its mouth, jig or hook, could throw that thing out of its mouth. So keeping the rod loaded up and you know, unless we have, you know, Arnold arms, it's a lot of work. I mean, it really is. I mean, even for the veteran, even for the guy who goes to the gym.
The rail is your friend.
It's just a tool. It's an angle that can save your energy, and keeping your hand on that handle and keeping the rod bent by the turn of the handle. It's, you know, these rods, these gear ratios, it's all connected. But maneuverability is the big one on why we do the rail thing. So you're, you know,
you said something
down the side.
Super important. Keeping the line tight, not having slack in that rail. So many times you see like inexperienced anglers lose fish because they have a slack line.
A slack line. Yeah. And it's I mean, adrenaline gets pumping. Like,
got to keep happening. A bend in that rod,
you
right?
See someone shouting fresh one to the side of you. Look, it's like them moments. It's like all that can you know, give you slack line, because it's so many moving parts. But keeping the rod bent by the turn of the handle, that was the big one. Because, you know, back in the day when we had full spools of mono, it was we were pull up, wind down. That's just how it was. That was the norm. But, you know, adjusting to these meaner bluefin, because at nighttime they're doing crazy stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty mayhem.
Yeah. And they got to keep that bend in the rod.
Got to keep bend in the pole. Yeah. Especially how stout these poles are. You know, when your rod's loaded up, everything's right, everything's tight. That's it for sure.
For sure. All right. Well, let's jump back on the phones.
You got it. How about Mike from Torrance up next on Let's Talk Hookup? What's up, Mike?
Good morning. I've had so many good times on that boat and looking forward to fishing with you, Dave. The rail, I could never have landed any of the bigger fish. It's just such an advantage. And what's your favorite jig these days?
Lately I've been, I think what I have tight on my little setup that I drop right now is the West Coast. It's like a 350 gram is what I have tight on right now. And it's, you know, I go through my little phases, but that's what I've been using lately, and it's been working well.
Okay.
Yep.
That's any particular color?
The one I come across first has been it.
And how many hooks?
I just do the bottom. That's actually a good point, too. The bottom hooks.
Single hooks.
Only because these bigger fish, and it was a perfect example a few trips ago. We, guy had a top set of top hooks and the bottom hooks, and it just so happened that the top hook snagged the side of the fish, the gill plate, and we found ourselves pulling that fish in sideways. And it took, you know, maybe it would have been a half-hour battle, but it took it to an hour-and-a-half battle because we were pulling on it sideways. So just using those bottom hooks was a very, very important one.
And a one hook is plenty.
We have some with the one hook and then some with the two hook, but I feel like mainly
but it's both on the bottom.
Both on the bottom. That's the big, big. But, making sure if you want to get the beefy hooks, get them. It's worth it.
Yeah. Quick question here from Kelly and Phillips Ranch. Says, great show. Love the tomahawk and look forward to making it my yearly boat of choice. Can you talk about a moon phase and bluefin fishing? How much does it impact? And, can you shed some light on that?
I know when I was a lot younger, I remember the full moon bluefin trips. That's how it was late.
Right?
And it seems like lately, I think when it's a full moon for the style of fishing we do, whether it's nighttime and daytime, I feel like it doesn't always benefit. I feel like I've had epic trips on full moons and then not so good trips on full moons. So, it just depends, but I feel like at least the last trip, it was a full moon. We didn't do so hot. The fleet didn't do so hot. Yeah. So, you know, the pull, the pressure, whatever that moon may create, at least lately it hasn't been beneficial.
Yeah. So when would you go? Anytime but the full moon?
See, I say that, and of course, the next time
next time we go, it bites like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You never know.
You, gotta go.
you just have to go.
You gotta go. You can't. That's the toughest thing is of course, in the wheelhouse, our thinking, like, you want to have the angle. You want to have the grasp on what the fish is doing, but there's times when it's just not with it.
Yeah.
It's just not biting. The fish is there. Maybe there's an abundance of food that these things are eating throughout the night, day, and by the time we find it, they're full. It's like, I feel like, no moon is some of the most consistent hits.
The dark of the moon.
Yes, but like I said, watch.
But you don't know.
Another full moon, and I'll,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Every cycle is different, and every year is different.
Every cycle is different.
Right?
Maybe the area they're in, or the area we're looking, could just play the negative role.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup. We're including finding out who's going fishing on a day-and-a-half trip on the Tomahawk. I can't believe it. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Offshore fishing is on. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. For bluefin tuna and yellowtail, nothing beats the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag two-speed reels. Shimano Speedmaster 2 is also an extremely durable, high-performance lever drag reel for the more budget-minded angler. Both the Talica and Speedmaster 2 feature Shimano's Hagani body to prevent misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest of load. For all your Shimano, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
It's time for the PowerPro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with PowerPro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard PowerPro, so you get more line on that small reel. PowerPro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new PowerPro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Hey, San Diego. The Make It Ford Summer Sales event is on. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers now and make it your best summer yet. Amazing offers and great selection of Ford vehicles, like the Built Wild Bronco family, with a deal you just can't miss. Your biggest adventures are awaiting. Make it Ford. Make it yours. Make it now. Only at your San Diego County Ford dealers. They'll be glad to hook you up. Give your boat the love it deserves and install a custom sea deck kit from Blue Seas Fabric. Blue Seas is the West Coast's only certified SeaDek fabricator and installer. SeaDek upgrades the look and feel of any boat, old or new. SeaDek non-skid decking adds comfort, convenience, safety, and value. Let the experts from Blue Seas Fabrication custom fit your deck, bridge, and interiors with stylish, durable, stain-resistant, and easy-to-clean SeaDek. Check BlueSeasFabrication.com and enhance your fishing experience.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time to find out the big winner on a day-and-a-half trip. Dave's going to do us the honor flipping a little prize coin for us to determine whether we got a caller or a texter. Do it up, Dave. We have a caller today. Congratulations, Lorenzo in Huntington Beach. You are so stoked.
Yeah, you
are. Day-and-a-half trip on board the Tomahawk. Congratulations.
Lorenzo, way to go. And awesome. Thanks to all the callers and all the texters. We had a lot.
Crazy.
Yeah, big numbers today. Yeah, they like you, man.
That's
they
awesome.
Like you a lot. Yeah, for sure. And a lot of kudos about the boat, the Tomahawk, and for being that's such awesome. a young operation. Pretty impressive how you've been doing well.
And it's heartwarming for sure. Because, I mean, we're out here. It's you know, you make sacrifices to work on these boats, so to know you're appreciated.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. I'll definitely express that to the crew. Like, keep up the good work.
You guys are killing it.
Awesome. Yeah, keep it up and keep it. So if somebody wants to book a charter mostly on the Tomahawk for next year, you got to get on it now.
Get on it. Get on it. Because I know it's been asked, guys just come on open party trips about how, and it's like Fisherman's Landing has the notebook. They have the calendar, and I gave them reins so I could focus on building this operation, catching fish.
Yeah. But
Fisherman's Landing has the keys right now for the charters.
Yeah.
For me.
So just call them,
call
right?
Call them. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Fisherman's Landing. They're doing great. They're awesome. Give them a call and get it set up. Get those dates locked in.
And then if somebody wants to book a trip this year, there's a few spots here and there. You can actually do it online, right?
Online.
The schedule's online.
TomahawkSportFishing.com. And they're both linked. TomahawkSportFishing.com and Fisherman's Landing.com.
Okay.
Click on that book now and there you go.
Get out on the water. Thanks. Appreciate that. Thanks to JP for manning the phones and the board and all the great people over at Sports Grid for us. Thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. And thank you out there, too, for all you do for Let's Talk Hookup. Appreciate all of that. And we will be back next Saturday and Sunday. Next Saturday is an interesting show. Craig Eric from the Department of Fish and Wildlife will be here along with Ken Frank. That's going to be interesting. And then Sunday, Steve and the guys from Promar. We're talking lobster already. Yeah, it's almost the season. So thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Sports Grid Radio Network, Facebook, and YouTube.